Now turn to part three. You'll hear part of an interview with two board game enthusiasts called Sarah Waters and Ed Zander about the renewed popularity of traditional board games. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part three.
Hello and welcome to the programme, where this week we are discussing traditional, non-digital board games such as Monopoly and Scrabble. With me are two enthusiasts, Sarah Waters and Ed Zander. Sarah, why do you think traditional board games are becoming more popular again?
Well, they were originally designed for families. Consequently, the themes are not typically your fantasy-type aliens or dragons. They're much more from everyday life. Anything from farming to creating your own home. Additionally, we're in a culture where, thanks to recent rapid changes, it's very rare now to meet people who don't play digital games, and as a result, we are far more accepting of play for adults as a legitimate pastime. But the thing is that most games are played on screens. In a world where everything appears to be mediated through an electronic device of some kind, there's a growing desire to put games back on the living room table.
And Ed, what do you think this century holds for game playing?
Well, people say that our lives are more pressurized and games are a welcome outlet for this, but I would argue there's much more to it than that. Yes, this century is going to be one of play, but the way we work and learn, communicate with each other, socialize and form new relationships, all these essential aspects of our lives are increasingly carried out via the internet and digital networks. And games, be they digital or traditional, will always mirror these things.
But what, specifically, is their attraction?
Digital technology can be isolating, despite social networks and emailing. There's a growing nostalgia for real interaction. At the same time, people are looking for leisure activities that involve solving problems, rather than just passively watching television stories. Board games let us play directly with each other, intimately, face to face. And maybe part of our brain really likes being in a room with other people. The most fun I have playing games, it's not with computers, it's playing board games with friends.
Is this phenomenon the same the world over?
Well, in parts of Europe, board games are integral to the culture. People seem to live and breathe board games the way we do video games in the USA. For example, they release over 600 brand new board games at Germany's Essen Convention every single year. So there's just a massive amount. And participants are all very excited. They've read up extensively on what the latest hot game is. So as soon as the doors open, they can make a beeline for the stalls and get their special game, and just sit down and start playing it. So, it's just crazy, enthusiastic board gaming. I've never seen anything like it. It's just amazing.
And isn't there some kind of award for the best game each year?
Absolutely. The Game of the Year Award, which was started in 1979 in Germany, it's become a real stamp of quality. In the USA, when somebody goes looking for a board game, they might think about trying something new, but they'll usually end up leaving with something they've played before and played as a child. But in Germany, if you see that little red shape on the box, that seal of approval given to games shortlisted for the award, you know it's going to be a good one. So you get people trying new games all the time. And the press have picked up on this too. The event gets great coverage every year.
So, tell us about your own collections.
Yes, I've got a huge collection. It's hard to resist that temptation to hang on to them. They're all so well crafted. But you know, there are game players and then there are collectors. But I'm afraid I'm both. I've actually converted my basement into a games room and, yes, I've got a lot. I never discard any on principle. Might be worth something one day, you see.
I try to get rid of some. You know, if I wasn't playing them, I'd try to chuck a few out. But then a couple of times that rebounded on me, and I've really wished I hadn't got rid of them. So I've stopped doing that. Now, if I buy one, I'm just going to keep it.
So let me move on to recent developments. Have there been any...
Now you'll hear part three again.
Hello and welcome to the program, where this week we are discussing traditional, non-digital board games such as Monopoly and Scrabble. With me are two enthusiasts, Sarah Walters and Ed Zander. Sarah, why do you think traditional board games are becoming more popular again?
Well, they were originally designed for families. Consequently, the themes are not typically your fantasy-type aliens or dragons. They're much more from everyday life. Anything from farming to creating your own home. Additionally, we're in a culture where, thanks to recent rapid changes, it's very rare now to meet people who don't play digital games. And as a result, we are far more accepting of play for adults as a legitimate pastime. But the thing is that most games are played on screens. In a world where everything appears to be mediated through an electronic device of some kind, there's a growing desire to put games back on the living room table.
And Ed, what do you think this century holds for game playing?
Well, people say that our lives are more pressurized and games are a welcome outlet for this. But I would argue there's much more to it than that. Yes, this century is going to be one of play, but the way we work and learn, communicate with each other, socialize and form new relationships... All these essential aspects of our lives are increasingly carried out via the internet and digital networks. And games, be they digital or traditional, will always mirror these things.
But what, specifically, is their attraction?
Digital technology can be isolating, despite social networks and emailing. There's a growing nostalgia for real interaction. At the same time, people are looking for leisure activities that involve solving problems, rather than just passively watching television stories. Board games let us play directly with each other, intimately, face to face. And maybe part of our brain really likes being in a room with other people. The most fun I have playing games, it's not with computers, it's playing board games with friends.
Is this phenomenon the same the world over?
Well, in parts of Europe, board games are integral to the culture. People seem to live and breathe board games the way we do video games in the USA. For example, they release over 600 brand new board games at Germany's Essen Convention every single year. So there's just a massive amount. And participants are all very excited. They've read up extensively on what the latest hot game is. So as soon as the doors open, they can make a beeline for the stalls and get their special game, and just sit down and start playing it. So, it's just crazy, enthusiastic board gaming. I've never seen anything like it. It's just amazing.
And isn't there some kind of award for the best game each year?
Absolutely. The Game of the Year Award, which was started in 1979 in Germany, it's become a real stamp of quality. In the USA, when somebody goes looking for a board game, they might think about trying something new, but they'll usually end up leaving with something they've played before and played as a child. But in Germany, if you see that little red shape on the box, that seal of approval given to games shortlisted for the award, you know it's going to be a good one. So you get people trying new games all the time. And the press have picked up on this too. The event gets great coverage every year.
So, tell us about your own collections.
Yes, I've got a huge collection. It's hard to resist that temptation to hang on to them. They're all so well crafted. But you know, there are game players and then there are collectors. But I'm afraid I'm both. I've actually converted my basement into a games room and yes, I've got a lot. I never discard any on principle. Might be worth something one day, you see.
I try to get rid of some. You know, if I wasn't playing them, I'd try to chuck a few out. But then a couple of times that rebounded on me, and I've really wished I hadn't got rid of them. So I've stopped doing that. Now, if I buy one, I'm just going to keep it.
So let me move on to recent developments. Have there been any...
That's the end of part 3.